to your stories. Joy, I'd love to say hi to you.
Aloha.
Okay, so this is the after class. See you next time.
Hi. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me? I can't stay very long because it's 10 to 11 and I've got to go to bed.
Oh, yes.
But I just wanted to say how much your work is helping me, and especially now I can't have do my hands-on Feldenkrais. I've taught T-Touch to all my clients, and so now I can work with them remotely, and I'm finding new things every time. So I've always done a lot of footwork, and this time I was getting a client to do T-Touches with one of her heels on the other foot, and that worked amazingly well.
Great idea, of course, whatever you can reach it with.
So, yeah, no, it's great. So thank you.
Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you. Okay, till next time.
Okay, aloha. Okay, so I think we're actually in the next. So any of you who are new here the first time, any questions?
I have one.
Yes.
Can you do this like as a distance healing? I'm just curious about that.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, because I meant to actually be clearer. Well, that's when the answer is absolutely yes. And what's interesting, in 2009, we spent several hours at the Oakland Zoo with Anna Wise, who was a director of the Boulder Institute for Biofeedback. And she had measured us in 1984 and again in 85, measuring the people being T-touched and doing T-touch. And then again in 2009. And what we did in 2009 was we had Sandy was hooked up to one mind mirror and I to another sitting next, and I was visualizing the work, the various areas. She had a shoulder injury at the time, and I was visualizing working on her shoulder. And what was interesting was the entrainment, because that's what we discovered, is that as we were imagining the work from a distance, she was going into the same state of beta, alpha, theta, delta that I was in that case. And actually, erase that, not true, because I wasn't at that point working on actually doing circles on my body. I was imagining them only. And one of the things that the way I do it, because I do a lot of this from distance, which we can actually even do from a distance to our own body, like what I'm suggesting for Sandra, who can't reach her feet, you can do the same thing. So from when I work from a distance, I really pay attention to the quality of my breathing, and I hold that intention of supporting the body, supporting the cells, ideal communication between the cells. And what I find is useful is when I actually work on the part of myself that I am visualizing working with the other person. Right now, the reason I have this guardian angel candle right beside me, I lit it last night for the sister of one of Eleanor's friends who's in the hospital, and she's on her seventh day of an impaction after surgery. Wow. And there's no help for her. Mm-hmm. And so you can believe we're doing a lot of holding. And my experience is it's so valuable to really focus on what we can do to bring, to support that cellular genius in the cells, that we can address that. And I have a really good example of that. We had a woman many, many years ago who came to a training in 1993. It was a dog training. And she had Crohn's disease. And so she found that with T-Touch, she could really help the digestion, but of course it didn't stop the disease, right? And about 20 years later, she had surgery. And this is in one of my books. She wrote me a letter after the surgery, when she was still under the effects of the anesthesia, she could hear the doctors saying, "We're losing her. She's not coming out of the anesthesia." And she felt herself slipping away. And she wrote that the only thing that kept her there is her dogs. She rescued dogs. Mm-hmm. And she thought, "What can I do? What can I do?" And she said, "T-touch." And she started imagining just talking to the cells in that whole area that had been traumatized and, you know, gone. Yeah. And brought her out, and she lived another at least 15 years. Wow. She finally died of cancer. But that fact that she could work on herself was interesting proof, you know, because we do distance healing, many of us here, all the time. Yeah. But do we know when it really works? So in this case, it takes your life, you know. Yeah. It
worked. I thought that was one of the reasons why I decided to take this course, just not knowing much about it, you know, and just doing this little 1 1/4 circles before I even knew much about this. And I was like, just kind of imagining a pain in my body or something like it, and just doing the circles. And I was getting results from that, you know. I thought, wow, I gotta learn some more about this.
So tell us more about that.
Well, it's not necessarily that. There's like, you know, all kinds of pains and aches. I just kind of imagine the pain or ache, or just kind of bring my body awareness to it. And then I just do a circle in the middle of the air with the intention that I'm doing it on that pain.
And yep.
It got results. And now,
great. And try something else, like add something else to it. When mm-hmm. it's chronic, what mm-hmm. one of the things I discovered years ago from an injury I had getting bucked off a horse is if it's longer standing pain, if mm-hmm. I do a circle and a quarter and a pause, mm-hmm. breath and a quarter circle back, that seemed that it does something. We call that quarter circle back. It's a circle with a snail's tail, that little snail, a little tail backwards. And just see if it makes, you know, because and you try it in different directions and just experiment with that. Now, I meant to show you, Joyce, you know what happened to me. In November, can you see that? Look at the left arm. See, I can't straighten it anymore because it has a plate and 5 screws in there. But I was told in November that the likelihood was I wouldn't be able to lift this left arm because this shoulder is subluxated. Right now, there's no bump there. It's amazing. And sometimes it's like there's a bump. It really sticks out because it's subluxated. It was fractured in 2 places here on the top of the humerus, and this had a compound fracture, and I had a major sprain here. So why is it so good? Because all I could think of, oh my God, how blessed I am. This is my left arm. Ha! I mean, oh my God, it could have been my right arm. I fell down the escalator at LAX, and and what I did immediately when they had me in the hospital in LA, and the nurse said, "Oh, you want me to take a picture of that?" Because I had like these, it looked like from the escalator, claw marks on my thigh and on my calf. And oh yeah, I want to see those. So I made up this story, you know, of course kidding, but that, well, you know, I had this bear experience. I surprised a bear in his den and he didn't mean to scratch me, but it would just look like bear claw marks. And then the beer's okay, ran away, and he didn't mean to do it. And it was way better than getting people traumatized over me falling down the escalator, because what I was told when they picked me up, or when they helped me up, they said so many people had been so badly hurt on that same place in LAX. Wow. So, you know, all I could think of, Jeff, was, oh my God, how blessed I am. It could have been my head. Could have been my spine, you know, all the things it could have been, but it wasn't. It was just this left arm. And so I can't tell you how many hours. And then we went on vacation. We went on a cruise over Christmas, and all I did was T-touch my arm. And yes, I have a Beamer, and that's really great for the circulation, but it's the love. It's the love that I poured in into every circle and a quarter. And so, and I was told, you're going to have so much pain, you can't imagine how awful it is. It's the opposite.
That's incredible.
It's the fact that I can do this. I mean, my God, you know, for the first month, I couldn't bring my hand above my navel.
So, if you keep doing it, you'll get straight.
With you, just the practice is like, wow. The fact is, hey, you got your body, you can move. That's a big start. I can move. And then daring to address the pain. And we've read it for years. I'm sure you've read it. Oh, well, don't avoid the pain. Don't cut it off. Don't other it, it's called. Because when they don't say this, but when you other it, holy mackerel, you even more prevent the communication or inhibit the communication between the cells. So just from us not imagining giving gratitude, because gratitude is like a hormone of hope. This gratitude, I'm sure, activates these feel-good hormones, like the smile.
Have you tried using the Ho'oponopono as you do the circle as well?
Yes. And the Ho'oponopono, there are two of my favorite books, and I really recommend you get one on Amazon. Do you like to read a lot or not so much?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I do. If you like to read a lot, I really recommend, it's called The Book of Ho'oponopono.
Okay.
And it's in have you managed to get in now to find in the website all the stuff that we have on there for you to look at?
Give it a rough look, but let's watch the two that I watched.
If you look for the book list, you'll see it, because it's the reason I recommend that book. It's Dr. Luke, LucBoudan, and two others were the authors of this, because there are at least 10 books on Ho'oponopono. But he talks about, he explains how it works in terms of Heart Math Institute, quantum physics, all this. So you'll love the background of it. Joyce, have you read that yet? Have you found either of those books on Ho'oponopono? It's incredible. It's either, I can't.
So I don't think she's unmuted.
That's what Jeff, I really recommend that. And it's wonderful. And this thing of loving ourselves, this idea that we would love ourselves, most people say, get real. You know, we've been taught since childhood. It's a sin. I wasn't taught that. But that's in the culture. Don't love yourself, you're selfish, blah, 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 all this.
Especially in religion.
When we love that divine spark, that cellular wisdom within that runs this body, and we start dealing from this feeling of, holy mackerel, we're amazing. We're all walking miracles. That's what causes, it's what supports the healing. And you go in and you thank it. Thank the fact that it's not worse. wait a minute. And you visualize that movement in and bring some of the animals. I see, did you have a kitty or was that Larry?
That must have been Larry.
Yeah, he had a kitty there. Oh, it was lovely. And so just imagine, do you have any animals?
Not currently.
Did you ever have a dog?
Yes, growing up, and I did have a stray cat, but he got gone.
Did you ever have an animal that, any kind of animal that kind of you're interested in, attracts you? It could be a wild animal.
I did have a horse growing up there that was kind of close to.
So start just thinking about that, because it's when we reach out in that way and we start thinking, wait a minute, what was that? Because, you know, most of the time, Jeff, we don't, you know, if you haven't done any work like this, you don't want to feel too much, you know.
Safer not to.
That's normal in our lives. And the fact is, when we start, we can dare to reach out to an animal. Mm-hmm. No, and start dreaming about it, imagining it. You know, if you had that horse where, oh, and you could go for a ride. And when you start, oh, you like to read. Uh-huh. So here's another book that I would just invite you to go on Amazon and see if you connect. You know, you just give, and because this is Michael's 22nd book.
Oh, wow, that's pretty interesting.
It's, and he was a soil, he was a soil analyst in, not in Australia, in the island that just south of, you know, off the coast, I forget which island. He was a, mm-hmm. he was a deer, soil analyst, and he began having these feelings and getting connections with nature. And wow. he told me about this at the One Earth Gathering in Australia, in Sydney, in Brisbane, Australia, in the mid 80s. And mm-hmm. I said to him, you have to write a book. And wow. he says that in the introduction to his first book, Talking with Nature. Uh-huh. And this is his 22nd book, and it's how you entering the secret world of nature. It's wow.
That sounds fascinating.
It is. And it fits exactly like in chapter 4, he talks about the activation of the role of the logic that we can't uh-huh. live without, but the mm-hmm. right brain, and why until you activate that right brain, and just by imagining, visualizing that you, visualizing what you would do with your horse if it suddenly showed up in like daydream, anything to do with daydreams, that activates your right brain.
Wow, that's feeling, incredible.
Intuition, compassion, creativity. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Great. So welcome.
All right. Thank you.
And if you have any questions, you know, we're a really safe place. Some of the Europeans left. Joel from Switzerland. He's a young guy. He started when he was 17, about 5 or 6 years ago. Amazing mm-hmm. what he's doing now. And Martin Lasser was there. And Martin, he was original many, many years ago. He was a nurse practitioner. And for 18 years, he's been teaching and organizing our trainings for horses and dogs and humans in Austria. And we have these, you know, just really, it's a pleasure to have you guys there. And Gary yeah. and Sandy were there from Wisconsin. Gary's a massage therapist. Yeah. Been coming to my trainings in Wisconsin for years, you know. And so really nice. So welcome. Marla, who are you? I only see first, you didn't say anything. Can you unmute yourself? I was wondering, like, who are you, Ms. Marla? I don't know if it's possible to unmute. Maybe you can write in the chat. That's a possibility. And I'm looking here. I'm just looking at what Valentina Lert. Valentina, I want to see what she wrote. I met her when she was 12. She's retired now. would work around the, darn, I can't read it. Oh, around the sphincter. The eye. Oh, would work around the eye, da da da. Do the same. I can't see it. Two new messages. Sorry, I can't. Okay, so everybody's off doing other things, of course. So I can't see if you have are writing anything, Marla. Great. Well, I'm looking at these and smiling, and it's been a pleasure. And Joyce, you're a miracle. And I tell you that Roland and I are both thinking about getting our lenses replaced when all this is over, because we're told, I want to see more, but you know, what they're saying is that you can see again without glasses, and I'm having to strain to read small print. You know, I get a magnifying glass out, and I have trifocals, which the only reason I have these on, I have other glasses that are just like one, you know, like what do you call them, monofocals for distance and that. But they're not non-glare, so I have shiny eyes if I don't have these on. These are trifocals, not good for us, for eyes. Anyway, pleasure. Blessings. Let's send that out to the world. Great gratitude for this vessel for our souls. Aloha. Oops, I have to first stop this meeting. Okay. Ciao.